Oh ja. Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. It is a dream come true for me to be in Philadelphia, and that has purely personal reasons. I have been reading first about Ravindra Swarup Prabhu's, or from Ravindra Swarup Prabhu's well-written articles, where in one article he says there are people who are smiths who work on iron, but I'm a wordsmith. I work on words and on concepts. And because we from the country of Germany like to also explore different subject matters, I guess it's not a national thing. I mean, Germans like to also make wars. but I always like to explore different subjects. I very much appreciated Ravindra Swarup Prabhu's articles. And then when we met, we immediately began to discuss. I remember the first time we met, I had asked Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, what do you do when you cannot get along with people for some reason? Because we had met during some very, let me say, intense discussions, and there were sometimes there were devotees who had such different viewpoints, and I felt grief-stricken that I couldn't get along with some of these devotees, although they were my godbrothers, and I understood that on the spiritual platform they are devotees and they serve Krishna, but we just couldn't get along. Maybe you sometimes also have that, feel that in your congregation here. And then Ravindra Swarup Prabhu said to me, see, everyone is programmed in his particular way. And you never argue with a computer program. Yes. And this way, this simple wisdom of life was very useful for my life, to not be agitated when somebody else's program was not compatible to my program. So over the years, we have discussed many things personally and deeply philosophical, and I always wanted to see his room, I wanted to see his kitchen, I wanted to see the juice which he drinks, everything which a friend wants to know about the other friend. And the greatest treat was to see the deities whom he serves since he joined Krishna consciousness, especially Balarama, I think, was the first deity who came, and I could see him. It's the same Balaram, which is here.
Yeah, well, the little one is up in my office. Before I became a devotee, I had that Balaram.
Oh, yes.
I'll introduce you to him later.
Please, please. So I'm now very happy to be here for personal reasons, to see Ravindra Swarup Prabhu's field of action, or we must say one of his fields of service, which has been from the beginning the Philadelphia Temple. And I'm now very excited to present something before my older brother's scrutiny. He is my advisor in philosophical matters, so he will give me more properly some input in this lecture which I want to give, which is very important and near to my heart. I want to talk today about a concept called the sacred space or the inner space. And we have been exploring this subject in a little bit as we sat together. And good. So I'm now in Philadelphia at the house of my friend, I'm now seeing all of you, and I'm very happy to see you as you try to understand my German language without an English accent. You will have to concentrate very intently because I don't speak such polished English as you can speak. It will be quite an adventure for you to follow my attempts to speak the English language. Good. So, are we ready for the subject?
Yes.
Good. Then let's go into it. Time is also there, I understand.
I want you to speak. They were chanting.
Yes, okay.
You're going to lead the kirtan at 7:30.
Okay, yes. So then afterwards. I have to say, if you have children under the age of 5, who will maybe get bored by what I will say, and you see the first signs of discomfort in your children, it is my humble request that you take them in an area where you can tend to their needs without having to consider that there are many people watching you. Or in simple language, when your children are noisy, please bring them into another space than this one. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Hivasadi Govaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Not long ago in Menla, that is a Tibetan house, we had our bhakti retreat, our first bhakti retreat for outsiders, not really for practicing devotees, but for people who were interested in Krishna consciousness and wanted to now have an exposure to what Krishna consciousness is. And I was requested to hold lectures there, and I chose to speak about a subject which is very dear to my heart, that is the sacred space of the heart. Before I continue, I would say, please all move a little bit forward because people have joined us. Maybe we can have even one devotee at the door who is doing the service of, you know, these people who are in the cinema, and when people come late, they guide you to your seat. So, who can do that? An usher. Good. It's an usher Who is our Asha? This devotee. But do it discreetly, so that yes. And maybe you can also see if there are children who are not tended to properly. Prabhu, where is our Asha? Asha ji. Back to Andrew. When you see that there are children who are not properly taken care of and who feel restless because they get claustrophobic, you please bring the mothers to an area they can... Yeah, to the Sunday school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. You can see here's a German person speaking to you. They like to organize everything. Good. So, I was requested to speak there, and I chose the subject of sacred space. The subject of sacred space appears in an ancient Vedic book called the Chandogya Upanishad. In this Upanishad, our body, which we all inhabit, is compared with a city which has 9 gates. 2 here, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, and 1 mouth. That's 7 gates through which traffic enters the town of our body, and traffic exits in the form of words, for instance. And then there are 2 gates which we will not mention here. They lie underneath the belt. Inside that city of 9 gates, the Chandogya Upanishads describes, there is one special house which is the heart. And inside that house, the heart, there is a very special room which few know to inhabit. It's the sacred space of the heart, the Hridaya Akash. It is said that this room is small, but at the same time has such an unlimited space that the whole world fits in it and all the gods. It is said that in this space, the sacred space in the heart, there resides the Atman, the Self, and the Super Self, or God. It is said that miseries like death, diseases, can never enter this sacred space. In other words, he who knows how to inhabit this space can never be disturbed, even by calamities which happen in the town of 9 gates or the body. One who finds his way into this room is no longer slave to unreal desires. And further it says, if a person who has found his way into the sacred space of the heart desires something or puts a conscious sankalpa in his mind, an intention, he will be able to attain anything and everything. It will instantaneously come true. Is it interesting for you, this sacred space?
Yes.
This was only a polite yes. You must have an urging, a great deep urge to find this room into your life. It's more precious than any palace or any Dodge car or ever, even the presidency of the United States of America. If you have found this room, you will find treasures there which are more, which money can buy. You will find yourself and God in there. It is said that ordinary people, that's people like us, find this room only in deep sleep. Deep, dreamless sleep. Have you ever made the experience that after you wake up from a deep and dreamless sleep, you feel so happy? Have you made this experience? You know how this experience is explained. It's because when you are in deep and dreamless sleep, you are in a state where your mind stops working, which connects you to the material world. You are in a state of no mind. No mind is chattering. And you enter unconsciously, you are asleep, into the rays which come from the body of Paramatma, of God within your heart. And just this contact, even though it is unconscious, surcharges you, it bathes you in so much happiness that you just feel happy, and when you wake up, you feel that what was a problem before, when you went to the to go to bed at night, is no longer a problem. You feel refreshed. You are ready, as we say in American language, to take on the world. Huh? Yes, that is correct American English. Yes. In Europe, we have problems with this statement. We feel America is maybe taking a role of policing the world, which the world has not agreed to. But that's political issues, and I have no real opinion on this. I'm a devotee of Krishna. So, but you feel, let us go back to the main point. You feel, what I want to say with this is, it's in the experience of everyone that we enter a state of consciousness where we feel surcharged, we feel enlivened, we feel even empowered. But mind you, because we do this when we are unconscious, or let us say in a dreamless state, in a state of no mind, we really have only very limited benefit from this experience. If we could contact the Lord consciously, there would be a total other different benefit which is in us. So, this is the Chandogya Upanishadic description about the sacred space, the space of the heart, together with, let me say, of course, an encouragement. The Upanishad said, find that room, find that sacred space where all your treasures are. The Upanishads say, don't be like a person who walks over hidden gold looking for treasures somewhere else. Imagine here in Philadelphia, maybe in this lawn, there's a big, big treasure which was hidden there by John Adams, one of the presidents of the United States of America. And imagine we want to furnish the temple with a new heating system. And we go looking for funds all over. in the congregation and all over Philadelphia, but we forget that, or we don't know that right in our courtyard there is a huge, huge treasure of gold, gold, what is it called? Gold barren? Gold bricks? Gold bars?
Ingots.
He is our learned Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. We will choose his golden ingots. Then we would be poor. So most human beings are like this. They don't know that they have the treasure inside, and they run looking all over. They go even to self-improvement courses to see how they can make more sense of their life and learn some skills. But it is said, if you have made contact with the Lord in the heart who resides in the sacred space, all your intentions will be fulfilled. No? I do remember our exalted spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. He was in contact with this space. I remember when he went to New York, and he was once sitting in Central Park. His only audience were pigeons at that time, who hoped maybe to get some food in the cold winter. And then an American man sat next to him, and to start a conversation, he asked, "Are you from India?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes." "Oh, what do you do here?" "I'm trying to fulfill the order of my spiritual master." And "Yes, do you have already something?" "Oh, yes," said Prabhupada. "We have many books, many temples." He must have seen the Philadelphia temple at that time also. On Los Angeles and all our beautiful temples which we have in America. "We have all this and many young children and many books," he always said, "book." Then the man said, "Oh, I'm very interested. Can I see these temples? Can I read the books?" And Prabhupada's answer was, "Not yet. Only a little time is separating us. Little time." And we know he wanted to have all this. And because his intention was set on it, and he was living in that inner space and was connected to the Lord of the heart, then the Chandogya Upanishad's prophecy worked, that whatever such a person who is connected like this has comes true. My dear people of Philadelphia, for one moment I will now become a little bit intense with you, but then so don't leave the room. I'm doing it for your for your benefit. Most of us don't know this space any longer. By the modern life, we have been pulled out of this space. People now live in the virtual reality. All the time there is TV going on in their houses. They have, we call it in Germany, the TV is the one-eyed guru, but he is superseded by now by another one-eyed guru, the computer screen, and there's internet access and an overflood of undigestible informations which occupy people. Do you also get so much emails and junk mail? Too much to digest in one lifetime. People are so much pulled out of their inner space that it becomes scary for them. We just had a retreat where we had the Mona Vrata. And in that Mona Vrata, the vow of silence, our devotees were required to not speak for a whole day. Because only when the noise outside becomes less can you hear the voice of the Lord inside. So most of the people have lost their inner space, and because they have not used it, they have lost it. Or they have lost access to it. Imagine you have a room in your house and you never enter it. You never live in there. You never put the heating on in the winter. It will be soon inhabited by dust, by cobwebs, and the room will not become inhabitable for you any longer. So most people, it is so sad to see, are losing their inner dimension, their inner life, because they are constantly distracted by the outer world. There are four roads into this inner space, which I would like to tell you, and I would be very, very, very grateful if you take special note of these four roads, so that you will again inhabit your inner space and you will see miracles unfolding in your life. But before I tell you the roads for which each one of you has to pay me $1 million, I'm a poor man coming from Europe. I thought, let me make some money in Europe, in the USA. I'm joking. You get it for free, don't worry. Before saying this, I want to tell you a story which caught my attention and whereby which I decided to look into this inner space and to find the inner space. This story appears in the book Nectar of Devotion, and it is a very, very interesting story. I think with your knowledge of what you have heard by now about the inner space, you will appreciate this story very much. The story is about a brahmana who is very poor, but he has somehow a desire to worship the Lord. So he goes to different lectures on spiritual subjects, and in one lecture, a very learned Vaishnava explains to him a concept which is very much like this. It's the temple of the heart. This learned Vaishnava says that you can actually worship Krishna with exquisite articles in your mind, in your heart. So the Brahmana's mind catches fire. He likes this idea. So every morning he sits down at the bank of a river and does some simple pranayama exercises to calm his mind. You know, that's one. So he does this, and then he does something very interesting. Remember, in this space, nothing is impossible. It's the space of the mind, really. So he takes bath at four sacred holy rivers, and he fetches water from each holy river. Then he goes with this water in a temple which he has carefully established in his mind, and he goes to the deities and bathes them with this holy water. Then he changes their dress. Then he sings for the deity. And then he really cooks a nice feast every day. He's poor, But he's sitting there and doing all these beautiful services in his mind. Imagine. Because he has heard, whatever you offer the Lord in your mind, that is actual fact. He has heard this. He is poor, so but he offers gold and golden dresses and wow, and a nice Aratik lamp in his mind, and he just really goes into this. So one day, the story now takes an interesting bend. I think you will not believe your ears when you hear. One day he cooks kheer. Now, those of you who are from India, and this is many of you, know kheer is best served when it's cold. Maybe there are different kinds of kheer, but the kheer I got to know in the Hare Krishna movement was also, it's just like we say sweet rice, it should be cool, then it's best. So he cooks a pot of sweet rice, but he's not sure, is it already time to offer it? So he takes his hand to just test the temperature. And all of a sudden he goes, and he gets out of his meditation. He looks at his hand. It's all red. We say it's burnt marks of the first degree. When it's third degree, it has bubbles, but it's mildly burnt. And he wonders. Now, at the same time, Lord Narayan looks at Lakshmi and just goes and laughs. He's usually so composed. And Lakshmi wonders, why do you go, you know, why do you laugh like this? And Narayan said, some surprise. And he sends his Vishnu Dutas to go to that Brahmana, poor Brahmana, who wonders about what happened to his finger. He thought this was only meditation, but it so had become so hot. They say, you are ready to go to the kingdom of God. The Lord sends us. You have pleased him. You have offered him every day first-class worship. So you can see, entering... Where did he do all of this? Where did he have a golden lamp? It was here in the heart, in the mind. It was inside of him. It was not in the outside world. But Lord Krishna accepted this. My dear devotees and my dear friends, this has serious implications for us. We have to learn to become devotees. And devotional life is something which always happens from inside to the outside. We have to bring our mind to our practice. And exactly this is the first of four roads which bring us into the inner space. Lord Krishna says, what are the four roads? And if you would like to make note of this, this is now a good time to concentrate and make notes. Manmana bhavamat bhakto majaji mang namaskuro. Mamivaisyasi satyam te pratijane priyosimi. First, manmana, think of me. Krishna! This is how you enter and this is how you come into this sacred space. Or as we, as Prabhupada used to call it, this level of consciousness called Krishna consciousness. Think of Krishna. Thinking of Krishna is so important, my dear devotees. It is not only mental hygiene, to think of Krishna, to be inside pure. It is a necessity for spiritual survival. Because only if you think of Krishna, then will you be able to become a devotee. There's a nice little story about which Srila Prabhupada involves Srila Prabhupada, which I heard here in Philadelphia for the first time from His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. Prabhupada was staying in one American temple. I forgot which temple it was. Maybe someone remembers. And there was I have to tell a little bit more. And there was a Gujarati lady, a lady from Gujarat. LA, good. She was 19 years old. She had married and gone to America, maybe like many of our Indian devotees, Indian body devotees. And this lady had just come to the LA temple and cooked for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada took some fatherly care of her. They spoke in Hindi and they exchanged and so on. So one day, this Gujarati lady tells Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, today after my cooking seva, I want to go and see a department store. American department store." I think our ladies from India can fully understand, because the desire to shop is also available in our heart. Because in India there are only shops with one item, you know, one shop has these things where you roll chapatis and only these things, you know, nothing else. how do we call them? No. Rolling pin. Or, you know, there are hawkers on the street, but there is no department store where you can get everything from a toothbrush to a TV set, an apple to an elephant, you know, everything is available in the American department store, you know. So Prabhupada looked at the lady and said, "No, don't go." And the lady said, "Little, you know, like daughters like to sometimes talk with their father. No, I just want to see one time, just to see America. I have heard America means department store." Very simple-minded. I just need to see just a little. Prabhupada said, "No, don't go." And again she offers an argument. "No, I just need to see how the American ways of life is, and I heard so much." And then Prabhupada said, "If you go and see all these unnecessary things, you will develop attachments. And if you have these attachments, you will always take birth again to try to fulfill them." And again she argued, and then Prabhupada said, "Now you argue, but after I am gone, you will see the point of what I try to tell you." This lady has met devotees later, and she said, "I regret that I went that way, the way into the department stores and what came afterwards, you know, the world of objects, the outgoing world. I regret this now and now." So the first road which leads inside is you not attachment to material world, but attachments to Krishna. And this happens if you start thinking about Krishna. Therefore, my dear people of Philadelphia who have made it into the Hare Krishna temple today, please read sufficiently in the literature so that you can think of Krishna and in this way take a very reliable road with a very reliable navigation system, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which leads you into that sacred space. Do some of you sometimes read in the Bhagavatam? I think so. No? Do you have you experienced when you read in the Bhagavatam how you become so relieved and so happy and so sure? What has happened? You have traveled the road inside and you have discovered something of this mysterious sacred space. Second is Bhava Mat Bhakto. Become my devotee. That means you should do acts which are done in devotional service. When you have Krishna in your mind, which is the first of the senses, you should you will afterwards feel a desire to use your other senses to do some service for Krishna. That's the second road which goes inside. Active service for Krishna. The next is Majjajimang. Worship Krishna. Most of you are Indians. You know how your grandmother always woke up, right? Took an agarbatti stick, went to the picture of Lord Krishna and did her little puja. 1 minute. Hogya. You know. So, this is a road which brings you inside to worship Krishna every day. That worship of Krishna, where you just even simply say a prayer, use an agarbatti stick and incense, do some little puja, it will bring you into this room, which when you discover it, you don't need anything else more. And the last thing is Namaskuru. Namaskuru means pay your obeisances. I have a devotee called a devotee friend called Bhakti Charu Maharaj who once told me about the spiritual anatomy of obeisances, of bowing down. He says, usually people are so much governed by their heads, their minds and so on, but when you bow down, the head goes down and something else rises up. What is that? The heart. Oh, you put your forehead down and your heart goes up. So remember, in your heart there is this sacred space which you can enter in a very simple way by doing your obeisances, your mindful obeisances to Krishna. These are four ways. If you want to read more about them, I highly recommend to you to look this up in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse 35. It's the last verse in that chapter. 9th chapter, verse 35. You can purchase the Bhagavad Gita here, or if you are poor, you can borrow a Bhagavad Gita. There is, for sure, this is the temple where Ravindra Swarup Prabhu is, and there means many books are there, there's certainly a Gita where you can look into and find this, write it down, and what I have done for many years, I wrote these four practices down. Think of Krishna, serve Krishna, worship Krishna, and what was the last one? Pay obeisances. Thank you very much. Pay obeisances to Krishna. I put it on the door. Whenever I went outside, I had to look at it, and I will remember to be mindful of Krishna. And then, my dear devotees and my dear skeptics, not the same, but I have to address everyone in the crowd. I have to be polite. My dear devotees and my dear people on the path where you explore Krishna consciousness, you will discover, when you learn to go through these roads, you will discover the sacred space in the heart which all spiritual cultures know about, but which in this modern day and age only few know how to inhabit. I want to thank you for your attention. I didn't imagine such an attentive audience in Philadelphia because it's a Sunday feast and we are in a festive spirit and philosophical lectures, sometimes we need to concentrate, but you were very kind to me. I feel very encouraged. But I really want to request you, please explore this concept a little bit more for you, and then please go inside and discover your treasures. They are with you all the time, and you know it. You have a feeling that it could that you could discover it, and that's why you came to Krishna consciousness. But don't look outside. It's inside, huh? And there's a whole universe waiting for you to be explored. Even when you look at the deities, you must have devotion. You must inhabit the space. Otherwise, you only see color and other things. Only with the eye of devotion, the eye from the inner space, can you really see the Lord, huh? And benefit from this. Notes are finished. Speaker will be silent. Thank you very much. And Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.